I'm curious to you, as we begin our time together studying God's Word, I wonder what a story is to you. So let's look at a couple pictures and see maybe some things that are stories. Does a story look like this, an Instagram story? How many of us in this room are on Instagram? Anybody? Yeah, we've got a few. My wife spends way too much time in Instagram stories. Don't tell her I said that. How about this? For how many of us just love a good story in a book? Yeah, give me a cup of coffee and a book. Good stuff. How about this? A good story around a campfire. Well, to me, there's, of course, many different ways that we can experience great stories. But to me, when I think of stories, I think about when my dad was at home for bedtime. He was traveling a lot for work when I was younger. And when he was at home for bedtime, he would come tuck us in. And he would tell us stories about a little boy named Boo. All right? That was his name. And the shtick of the story is, for some reason, every story had an adult coming up to the little boy and saying, "Hey, little boy, what's your name?" And he would say, "Boo!" and scare the adult every time. For some reason, we thought it was funny every single time. But for me, when I think stories, I think bedtime with my dad. And I found just like one of the most helpful quotes as far as life stories and how our lives kind of go. And it was from the Harvard Business Review. Just very helpful in our conversation today. She says, "All of us tell stories about ourselves. Stories define us. To know someone well is to know her story, the experiences that have shaped her, the trials and the turning points that have tested her. When we want someone to know us, we share stories of our childhood, our families, our school years, our first loves, the development of our political views, and so on." And I just have to wonder, with this many people in the room and so many people watching online today, what is your story? Maybe your story kind of seems like a comedy. Maybe it seems like a tragedy. Maybe it seems like a beautiful poem. Or maybe it reads a little bit like a sophomore research paper. No? You guys didn't write research papers as sophomores. They're really bad. I would say for many of us that our story, the story of our life, feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. You guys ever seen that movie? You wake up to the same thing every single day. You go to work, come home, take care of your house, sleep. And for many of us, there's a longing inside of us, a longing like there could be more to our story. And I would say today that as we study this passage of Scripture, my encouragement to you today, as you think about your life story, maybe what people will say when you are no longer here, the story of your life, that longing for something more, something special, a mission to make an impact into the world is God-given. And throughout this passage, as we study it, I would encourage you to lean into it, because we believe, say amen if you agree with this, we believe that Jesus is in the business of the plot twist. Amen? He's in the business of taking what was unexpected and, frankly, taking that underdog and making them the hero of part of his story. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Don't worry. You don't have to hear me talk. Let's just listen to the words of Scripture and let Jesus talk to us today. So John chapter 4 today, we're going to look at a compelling story of the most unlikely of ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And today we're going to start in verse 39. We're going to start at the end of this story, the end of this narrative, where Scripture says many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. See, today our story ends with a citywide revival. A citywide revival. We hear the word revival and we think like tent meeting, right? Got an organ shredding it up there, and a preacher going, hellfire and brimstone. Today, we get to witness the story of a citywide revival. And who is the bearer of good news? Who is the one that spreads the kingdom of God into this city? Today, we get to learn about an immoral woman who is despised in her own town, an underdog in every sense of the word, who is used by Jesus to spread the good news of the kingdom to her entire city. If you still have your Bibles open, let's read from verse 5. Jesus was traveling from one Jewish town to another. Said he had to go through Samaria. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So there's some deep history here. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, naturally sits down by a well. About noontime, he had sent his disciples into the city to buy food. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time, like I said, because he sent his disciples into the village to buy some food. You think Jesus might have known that this woman was going to be here, that he might not just be tired from the long journey, but also that he was planning to meet her here? Just maybe. The woman was surprised. She was shocked, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. That's an understatement, by the way. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman." Okay? Samaritan, so there's an ethnic issue. Number two, she's a woman. In that day, teachers, rabbis, would not ever be caught dead teaching a woman. So gender, race, huge barriers in between the two. And yet he talks to her, asks her for a drink. "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why would you ask me for a drink?" And by the way, those things I just mentioned, it's even deeper than what I just mentioned, the divide in between these two. And listen to Jesus' reply as he replies to this woman and he replies to us today who have our list of things that divide us with God. Jesus said, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me. And I would give you," what are those words? "Living water." You would ask me, and I would give you, let's say it out loud together, living water. We just sang about it a moment ago when we sang, "Fill my cup, I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole." That, this is exactly where that comes from. Thank you, Kathy, who planned the songs today. This kind of offer, maybe we expect that from Jesus because we're reading it in hindsight. This offer was given to the most unlikely person of their day. Ethnic and gender divide, along with a lifestyle that in the narrative we learn that she's been divorced multiple times and she's living with someone who is not her husband. In fact, in her day, she couldn't even go to church like we are today. She was a religious and social outcast. And yet, this woman who no one expects to do anything with her life, I hope you're feeling me if you've ever felt like this before, this person who no one expects to do anything with her life becomes the Goldberg. See that first picture? Oh, it's kind of grainy there. That's the Mighty Ducks, by the way. Goldberg is the chubby goalie who, okay, maybe you didn't watch that. How about this one? Rudy! Yeah! She becomes the Rudy. Or the Rocky Balboa. Yeah, we've seen that. No one expects her to win, and maybe you feel like nobody expects you to win. Maybe you are your own worst enemy, and you don't expect anything exciting or great to come out of your life story. And you see, Jesus meets her where she is. Jesus meets us where we are. He comes and he encounters us. And when we meet Jesus, our underdog story begins. Now, maybe you met Jesus 40 years ago. That doesn't mean you can't meet him again now. Maybe Jesus is drawing you in with his Holy Spirit for the first time. Ooh. Just ask those of us who have been following him for a minute. That's like the best. Watch out. He's got good plans for your life. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus, or even if you've been following Jesus. When we meet Jesus and encounter him, our underdog story begins. And he comes to her gently, asks her for a drink, and says, "Listen, I've got a gift that if you only knew, you would have been coming to ask me." And over the next few verses, which is literally a whole sermon in and of itself, I'm not going to lie, I practiced this and it was like 50 minutes worth of content. I mean, this story is rich. Jesus gently guides through conversation this woman who is far from God, far from her, even her own society, gently guides her to a point. To verse 26. If you have your Bibles, look at this verse and underline this verse in the context that what we're talking about. This woman's story literally becomes historical. Jesus says to her, "I am the Messiah." Jesus told her plainly, "I am the Messiah." Now, we might think in this conversation that, okay, that's great. He was the Messiah, right? Well, yes, he was. But I have a little homework for you this week. I have a little homework. I would encourage you to do a quick Google search. Maybe if you have some study Bibles, pull out a study Bible. Look up how many times Jesus actually admitted that he was the Messiah. Look it up. It's remarkable. Then, I'll give you a hint, look up how many times he proactively told somebody that he came to somebody in conversation and proactively let them know that he was Messiah. I'll let you find out the first one on your own. This one, one person, my friends, one person. And practically speaking, if he was going to reveal himself as the Messiah, which would have been a big deal, and it was a big deal, wouldn't he tell the most influential person in the town? If he wanted this town to know about his goodness and this kingdom that he was bringing to the earth, wouldn't he want to go tell their local priest or the magistrate of the town? Maybe one of the elders of their town. But no, not only does Jesus come to her, but he lets this completely out of the box underdog know a secret that he hadn't told anybody. Jesus chose her. If you have your Bibles out, I would encourage you to follow along in Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. A little bit of encouragement again for you. Romans 8, verse 29 says, God knew his people in advance. Those who belong to him, he knew his people in advance, and he chose them to be like his son, Jesus, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen him, he called them to come to him. So he chose, he called, and having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. He broke down the barriers. He gave them right standing with himself, and having given them right standing, he gave them his own glory. My friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have committed your life to him, your story should not and frankly will not feel like Groundhog Day. That if you have been chosen by Jesus, if Jesus has come and revealed himself to you, you have the glory that Jesus holds, my friends. That he chose you, he called you, he broke down the barriers for you, just like he did for this woman. So how on earth did this woman go from despised to becoming an ambassador for the kingdom? You would think that it would take years of seminary. How many of us in this room have even been to any sort of like formal Bible training? Anybody in this room? Praise the Lord, a few of us, vast majority of us have not. So, can you be a part of the kingdom? Let's simply read her message. I think that we all might be able to pull this off. Okay? We're in verses 28 through 30. Man, it's just genius. So the people came streaming. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead. We're back at verse 28. Yes. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. Okay, what did she tell everyone? Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? I'll repeat that again. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? She had one message. It was pretty short. And she told everyone that she came in contact with. So the people, verse 30, came streaming from the village to see him. Came streaming from the village to see him. And we see something beautifully simple, my friends. That to be an ambassador for the kingdom does not take a seminary education. It does not take years and years of study. For an ambassador for the kingdom simply needs one thing: for God to use you. And that is your story. Your story of, I met Jesus here, and man, how my life has been different. And let's just break down what she did. She says, come and see. She makes an invitation. A man who told me everything I ever did. Her story, as Pastor Tom and I were talking about this passage, her story became the hook, right? Come and see, invitation. A man who told me everything I ever did, her story became the hook since everybody in the town knew it. Lastly, she asks an open-ended question. Could this be the Messiah? More literally, she's saying, this couldn't be the Messiah, could it? Is it really that simple? Is it really that straightforward? Well, it doesn't feel like it. Right? I imagine many of us want to share our faith, want to share our story. But maybe, this is how God wants us to do it in some way, shape, or form. Come and see. It's invitational. It's not even confrontational. Come and see. A man who told me everything I ever did, your story, is the hook. The bad, the good, the underdeveloped, your story. And then asking an open question, open-ended question. Maybe it looks like, hey, I mean, could this be the answer to what you're going through? Maybe it's, have you ever experienced God? Or maybe it's simply, what do you think? Because remember, we're not relying just on great, clever arguments. Just like in this moment, as we're talking about this passage, I'm not relying on any sort of clever speech. Just scripture saying, number one, Jesus wants to use you. Number two, he wants to use all of you, including the dark parts of your story. My friend in small group, as we were talking about, his struggles, he's trying to share his faith at work, and he's just encountered some really smart people who've asked him really tough questions. So he's been really struggling with this, and we were talking about what people believe, and really we came to the conclusion as a small group that in general, you don't really just change how someone believes all of a sudden. You don't argue them into believing in Jesus. And he made this observation that I literally wrote down in the moment, And I checked it with him this week to make sure this is exactly what he said, but I'm quoting somebody here in our church. He said, maybe we need to be less concerned about what other people believe and simply share how Jesus has changed our lives. Say that again. Maybe we need to be less concerned about what other people believe and the fantastic arguments that we have to shut their beliefs down. I just added that part. And just share how Jesus has changed our lives. Dallas Willard said, we are built to count. Just like water is made to run downhill, we are placed in a specific context to count in ways that no one else does. That is our destiny. Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus. Because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed there for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. This isn't up on the screen, but I'm going to read the next verse. They said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. You see, your underdog story, when you lean in and share the love of God and what he's done in your life, the game winner, the climactic moment, is just the beginning of the sequel. It's just the beginning of someone else's underdog story beginning. Do you get what I'm saying? You know how when you watch a movie and you're like, they set that one up for a sequel? That's exactly what happens when we are obedient to Jesus. We share our underdog story with others. It becomes their story, and they share that with others. That's quite literally what Jesus commanded us to do, to go and to make disciples, students, apprentices, whatever you want to call it, make disciples of every nation. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and I am with you in that process, all the way into eternity. Jesus, just a few verses back, tells a man named Nicodemus, who was not the underdog. He was the one everyone expected to do great things for God. He told this man some shocking things. He said, you must be born again. Like, super confusing. Like, how can that happen? And then Jesus kind of goes into a long diatribe, laying out for the man that he, in fact, is not enough to do things on his own. He had to bring this man down before he brought him back up. And here's what Jesus said in the middle of this diatribe. He said, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. If the story of God's love winning over judgment is appealing to you, it is to me. And that it might be as simple as us letting people into our lives and sharing with them, inviting them into an experience with Jesus and asking them questions, maybe, just maybe, then I think that God has a plot twist in your future, as he does in mine. Let's pray. Father, oh wow. The fact that you would use us, that you would use people who are broken, that are far from you, people who are drawn so quickly into the idolatry of individualism in our culture, the idolatry of worshiping our families and our jobs and our money before worshiping you. Father, you have a good plan. You sent Jesus not for condemnation, but for salvation. Thank you for that. Lord, I ask through your Holy Spirit that you would continue to convict those of us who already follow Jesus to embrace the story that you have for us, that you have chosen us, that we share in your glory, and that you have a story that you're writing. And I pray right now for anyone who is struggling, whether that they're at home or here in the building, for anyone who is struggling, and they've said no to you thus far, that they would see you in the love of Jesus for what it is, an invitation in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.